Madam Speaker, it's a good bill.
Frankly, I'm embarrassed.
The President of the Senate called a hot mess.
Ole Insider is an educational journey through the Washington State Legislature, following interesting and important bills through the legislative process.
This is a serious matter, Mr. Speaker. We're moving the wrong direction here.
Ole Insider is produced by Positive Intentions Media, hosted by citizen volunteers Erica Engelhart and Jay Fratt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, rising in support.
And it's the right thing to do.
All right. Here we are back. Another show of the Ole Insider podcast. I'm with Erica Engelhart up there in Snohomish County. What's up, Erica?
Hey, Jay. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. The nights are getting a little long, but I don't mind. I'm getting a bit addicted to watching this legislative session live from the gallery, sometimes even from the wings, but it's been going late. The other night went past midnight. Last night got out at about 11 p.m.
Yeah, you know, I did notice you've been spending quite a bit of time down there, but it's interesting. I wonder why they go so late, because they haven't been doing that this whole time. Is it just because they're running out of time now?
I don't know. One of the theories was they wanted to get some of the controversial bills almost in the dead of night, right? So I'm thinking of the Parents' Bill of Rights gutting, and then there was a budgetary session that went a little late. So it's at the discretion of the majority party and the speaker.
But I'm a little confused about that, because what is the purpose of, you know, getting them in the middle of the night? Because it's not like anyone could do anything to stop it if it were the middle of the day, right?
I'm in agreement. Maybe sometimes strategy is annoying the other party. They've got a lot of business to be done. So, for example, we've covered at the beginning of the Ole Insider podcast, we covered bills all the way through committee to where we're at now, you know, through the House of Origin cutoff. So they are still running committees during the day sometimes. So there's more to the schedule than just the floor debates and votes.
Very good point.
So today we are kind of in your wheelhouse, what we're talking about. And we've touched on this in a few episodes of the Ole Insider, but we've never really covered it. And we've kind of gathered some evidence, and we've got my eyewitness testimony. I was able to grab some sound bites from Representative Matt Marshall out of the 2nd Legislative District. That's Eatonville, Yelm, Graham area. So we're going to tell us what we're going to be talking about, because this is kind of near and dear to your heart as a citizen volunteer and the plank that you're interested in most.
Yes. So I'm actually really excited about today's episode because, you know, I am very interested in elections and how they run and the different aspects of them. But if you think about it, what an election is, it all boils down to us, you know, selecting our representatives to vote for us on certain issues in the legislature, right? So it's kind of, you know, this process that we're following is what it all boils down to, right? It's the most important vote that there is. It's why we all vote in the first place. So, you know, there are a lot of rules and stuff that are supposed to be in place to, you know, protect the vote of the legislator, just like the vote of the people. But what we have been investigating is that maybe some of those rules aren't necessarily being followed, or maybe there's some unwritten rules that are, you know, kind of agreed upon. So like Jay said, he was, like you said, Jay, you were an eyewitness, because the bottom line question is, are legislators, our representatives, allowed to vote for another representative if they are absent from their desk at the time of the vote?
Correct. Essentially voting by proxy.
Yes. And we did put out a Twitter poll on this just earlier this week. And it turned, I think it was 82%. The question was, how do you feel about proxy voting in the legislature? And I think it was 8% or so said no big deal. I think it was 11% said questionable. And then the majority of people said unacceptable. So I think most people would agree with us on this, that, you know, a legislator needs to be the one submitting their own votes. It can't be someone else submitting it for them because they're wandering around or maybe not even present.
Yeah, let me state it another way that you just eloquently put it, but more directly, we elect the representatives to go to the legislature, and the most important aspect of that representation is that vote that they have on these issues. One could say that is the primary and most important job of the elected legislator. So to have some loose rules that allows another legislator to vote for the elected legislator is wrongheaded as far as the process goes. And I want to tack on to this. I witness so much process and procedure and rule following from that body. Citizens, when they go to participate in this representative process, you know, they've got a gallery and there are so many rules that you have to abide by in that gallery, and you will be asked to leave, you will be asked to remove your food, your drink. There are rules everywhere in the Capitol. And so why is it that with the most important aspect of the legislature, that they have rules governing them? Eric and I have looked into that, and we're going to talk about that, that it is fast and loose with that most important aspect.
Yes, absolutely. So I did actually want to talk about some of the rules, because there are House rules, which are voted on at the beginning of the session, and they're good for the 2-year legislative session, right? So we've reviewed those, and I did make some notes here about the matter because...
Yeah, real quick, that is H.R. 4607. As adopted at the beginning of the session, basically the rules that will govern them and how they do business in the legislature, correct?
Correct, absolutely.
And people might remember that's the controversial set of rules where the Democrats changed 100-some-odd years of tradition, where they changed it that they could end debate not by a supermajority but by a simple majority. That was the big controversial piece that came out of that particular piece of legislation.
Correct, which actually, just as a side note, we did see them exercise that this week as well. So that was kind of disappointing and interesting and a slap in the face all in one.
Yes.
But okay, so there are a few rules which discuss the presence of the legislators. And I just am going to just mention a couple here. So rule number 9, absentees and courtesy, says that no member shall be absent from the service of the House without leave from the speaker. And I'm not going to read all of these. I'm just going to read a couple clips out of each of them.
But real quick, so you, mm-hmm. you said that one, and I've seen it. I've seen it in action in the legislature. All of a sudden, they're in the middle of debating a bill, and one representative will stand up, and the speaker will call on them, and they'll say, hey, please excuse, last night it was Representative Dent, right? So Republicans are in charge of excusing Republicans, Democrats are in charge of excusing Democrats, but they need to leave the floor, they need to leave the campus, so they must be excused. That's what that rule does. I've seen it in action. Go ahead.
Perfect. Okay. So then Rule 17, which discusses specifically remote participation and voting permitted upon authorization. So it says that... Excuse me one second here. Okay, it says the majority leader and the minority leader of their designees, hopefully I used the right word pronunciation there, may authorize members of their respective caucuses to participate remotely in official House proceedings, including committee meetings and floor sessions, upon the request of a member who is experiencing a medical condition or illness that prevents in-person participation.
Okay, and I've seen that. I've seen that in action. There's Representative Hackney, a Democrat, who has been participating remotely via video for House proceedings. And then just last night, not just Representative Hackney, but Representative Barry, also a Democrat, was participating remotely, let's just say via Zoom. It might be another video platform, but to give people an understanding, via Zoom. And she appeared to be maybe have a cold, maybe feel ill. But I've seen that in practice as well.
And so that same rule also says that members that are participating remotely shall use the computer and virtual background as provided during all House committee meetings and floor proceedings. So it sounds like even if they have this permission, it's still, you know, they have to use this certain platform. They have to have a certain background. They have to be visible on the camera kind of thing.
Yes.
To participate.
And I witnessed, to tell a funny story, you mentioned the oral roll call vote. Representative Hackney, when it came time the other night, they did, and we'll get to this important aspect, but oral roll call vote where they had to be at their desk to vote, and Hackney would come in out of frame in the video, come into the frame and vote, and laughter and would ensue, because frequently the other night he would vote against his own party and then have to change his vote. But I can confirm I saw the same backdrop. He comes into frame, votes, and then the video goes away. But the video is projected within the chamber as well, just to add that bit of eyewitness testimony.
Is it projected the entire time or just when they call on him to vote?
No, just when it's his time to vote.
Gotcha. Okay, so then we have Rule 21, which says all members to vote, except as provided in subsection G, every member who was in the House or participating remotely shall vote unless for special reasons excused by the House. So if they're there, they have to vote. So, I'm just going to continue. So,
and I've seen just real quick, and I've seen this as well, where their name will be called. Or they do the roll call machine and somebody's not voting, and the speaker will continue to say their name until they come in out of the wings and vote. I've seen that as well.
Okay, and then these next couple sections of that Rule 21, I wanted to clarify which one you have witnessed or both of these, because there's count of the House, and it says upon a division and count of the House on the question, only members at their desks within the bar of the House or participating remotely in House proceedings as provided in Rule 17 shall be counted.
Completely false. Completely.
That's the one that's completely disregarded.
Completely disregarded. 100%.
Okay, and then we have yeas and nays, recorded votes. Upon final passage of any bill, the vote shall be taken by yeas and nays and shall be recorded by the electronic voting system, provided, however, that an oral roll call shall be ordered when demanded by 1/6 of the present members.
Correct. And that's what we came to the other night with that oral roll call. So at this point, let's stop. And I've got very brief clips of the three types of voting that I have witnessed. So let's get to this first clip where it's your basic yeas and nays.
The remarks. Seeing none, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment 1157. All of those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed, say nay.
No.
The nays have it. The amendment is not adopted.
And let's be clear, we understand the Democrats have a clear majority, but I'm telling you, when I've witnessed these oral yeas and nays votes, I think it's way more difficult to hear the difference between the yays and the nays, and they'll just bang the gavel and move on. So I think this is where, in the beginning of the process, the Republicans may let them know in advance which votes they want to do a roll call vote for, which is a little more official. They're on the record for how they're voting, and this is very specific to the rule you just stated. So let's get to the second type of voting that I've witnessed, the roll call vote.
Further remarks? Seeing none, the question before the House is adoption of Amendment 1163. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. Division has been called. The Speaker is about to start the roll call machine. Speaker has started the roll call machine. Of all those that wish to vote, voted. Speaker is about to lock the roll call machine. The Speaker has locked the roll call machine. Will the clerk please take the record?
Mr. Speaker, there are 39 yeas, 51 nays, 2 excused.
The amendment is not adopted.
Okay, and that's the second type. And this is more official because up on the big board in the House chamber, you can see exactly how each member has voted. And this is where the controversy started for you and I as we were diving into the rules.
Yes, and I do like this better than the yeas and nays because I feel we can better hold people accountable when we can actually see how they're voting.
Yeah, and you ready for this wild rule? This little inside baseball, but the members of the parties are not allowed to take a photograph of the vote. Meaning, so like yeas and nays, you've got nobody on the record. It's just yay, nay, you know, oh, this way wins. The roll call vote is placed every name of every representative with a Y or an N, red or green, next to their name up on a big board visible within the chamber. Members are not allowed to take a photograph of that record. Isn't that bizarre? Well, and
very bizarre.
And if I'm not mistaken, I don't think that TVW broadcasts that roll call vote result.
I think you're right. I don't think I've seen it on there ever.
So sometimes somebody who's familiar with some representatives, and maybe some representatives might reach out to somebody who's in the gallery that they know. I don't know who that could be. And that person might take a photograph of the roll call vote for, I don't know, people that are interested that aren't allowed to take the photograph.
Interesting. So other people are allowed to, just not the representatives.
Correct. Citizens in the gallery can take video photographs of that roll call vote, but the representatives cannot. But anyways, that's besides the point. That's a little inside baseball. For you and I, when I was there watching, remember back when we were doing the show on that gun bill that limited bulk purchases, and we covered that. And that bill was sponsored by Representative Farivar. And so I kind of got to know Representative Farivar, what she looked like, sounded like. You know, I covered her in committee. So when I was there in the gallery, I was watching for her. I wanted to see, you know, you can, it's almost like an aquarium or a zoo. You've got some plexiglass between you and the representative animals or fish, and and you can watch. And so you tend to watch one in particular, or a few, you know, you've got your eyes on. Well, I noticed that Farivar was not at her desk for almost 2 hours. And you can also see when you're on the Republican side of the gallery, there's two sides to the gallery, two sides of the chamber, you can see the wings, meaning there's a velvet rope that kind of separates the floor from these anterior wings where policy workers might be, security, but it's like where they go and grab coffee or snacks, things like that. Representatives walk to and fro. There's some private places in those wings. Well, I could clearly see into the wings, and I saw all the reps milling, going and getting coffee. I never saw Farvar one time in those 2 hours in the wings until she came out of what is the entrance to the house. And so that was where this kind of spurred this quest of you and I to understand the rules of voting. And I will tell you that I've seen that more and more and more. And we've got Rep. Marshall actually speaking to this point later when we share that clip of him speaking to this proxy voting. And that's kind of the genesis of where you and I started investigating, well, what are the rules? Because clearly she isn't voting on these amendments, even, and to be specific and clear to people listening, even that roll call vote that Erica just read the rules for, that they had to be present for to vote, that is not done by the members necessarily. They may not be there. And that's the question, because they're having other people vote for them. That is proxy voting.
Absolutely.
So let's nip this in a bud. I'm going to share the third type of voting I have witnessed, and that is the oral roll call vote. And this is a longer clip than I would like, but yet very short. I had to do it long enough that you could understand the length of the process this oral roll call vote is. Here it is.
Seeing none, the question before the House is adoption of Amendment 1181. An oral roll call vote has been requested. Will the clerk please take the roll?
Abarno.
Aye.
Abell.
Aye.
Barkas. Barkas. Barnard. Berg. Berquist. Birnbaum. Barry, Bernoski, Burnett, Caldier, Callan, Chase.
It's hard to hear the representatives in that clip, but essentially they go through the entire roll of every representative in here in oral yay or nay. And it takes quite a bit of time, and that happened the other night. So there you go. There's the three types of voting that we've witnessed. Erica, help us stabilize. Where are we at with sharing what we've experienced now?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
So you shared the rule, right? Aren't you? Don't
yes.
Aren't there more rules, or is that? Is that
yeah? There is a one more rule that talks about this, and it's actually it's rule number 23, call of the House, and it says 1/6 of the members present may demand a call of the House at any time before the House has divided or the voting has commenced by yeas and nays. So what's interesting about this? It says that when a call of the House is when a call of the House happens, I'm not sure how to word that, it says that the doors are closed and locked, and the sergeant at arms shall close and lock doors, and no member shall be allowed to leave the chamber. It says also the clerk shall immediately call a roll of the members and note the absentees whose names shall be read and entered upon the journal in such manner as to show who are excused and who are absent without leave. And then it also goes on to say that the sergeant at arms shall proceed in bringing in such absentees. So they lock the doors. Nobody's allowed to come or go. They see who's there. And then the sergeant at arms is supposed to go find these people and bring them back if they are supposed to be present. So I'm not sure if you've seen anything like that, but I think that sounds quite interesting.
Isn't that the roll call vote, that last example, though, that oral roll call vote?
Is it? So I guess maybe I'm confused about the wording. So is that considered a call of the House?
Yes, I think so. Because for example, they don't move on. If when the Speaker of the House calls a name, and I saw this a couple times, and they don't respond, that vote is not concluded until that member votes. So, for example, the other night I witnessed Drew Stokesbury, the leader of the minority party, and Speaker Jenkins, the leader of the majority party, were not on the floor. They were together in the wings, you know, debating, discussing matters of the House. And this roll call vote was going on. So Stokesbury, he called the name. Nothing. Stokesbury called the name. Nothing. Then after every name had gone through, he repeated Stokesbury, and then he came on the floor and gave his vote, and same with Jenkins. That happened a couple times. So that's the example, I think, of that last oral roll call vote that you just gave. They have to be there.
Gotcha.
If they're not there, it has to be recorded that they're not there. Somebody's gone missing.
I do want to point out, too, that while we were kind of researching this a little bit, I checked to see what, you know, what the rules were for the U.S. legislator, and they do not allow any proxy voting or absentee voting like this at all. So, you know, it's not like it's a common practice to where people can just assume that it's acceptable to do this, even though it's not permitted in the rules. So it's kind of odd that it's so loose, like you said earlier, about the rules when it comes to this voting process.
Yes, yes. Okay, now time is flying. We're at the 26th minute mark. Let's get to Matt Marshall, 2nd Legislative District Republican Representative, because as I've queried members, and just to let everybody know, I have asked Speaker Jenkins directly about this proxy voting and the rules. I have not received any word back from Speaker Jenkins. And as I've talked to Republican members, the degree of the concern is varied. For example, Jim Walsh is like, that's the way it is, and this is the rule, Jay, that they are allowed. And then I've talked to other representatives like Marshall and Representative Rude, and they're rule followers, and they are upset. They agree with us that this is an unacceptable way for representatives to vote. So let's hear, I've got a couple clips of Matt Marshall talking about the inside baseball of voting in the House.
All right, so tradition of the House, and the House is all about traditions, is that if you are under the dome, so basically inside the House chamber, and you have written down your vote, somebody can push your button for you to cast the vote. It is not written anywhere. It is not written anywhere in the rules. However, it is incredibly controversial even inside the Republican caucus. Now, we do have the right to demand an oral roll call vote on any vote.
So what he outlines there is tradition, meaning this is this unwritten rule that's allowed through tradition for other members to vote. Now, when I was first investigating, I want to be clear about this. I was told that a seatmate could vote for another representative. So, for example, for people out there trying to visualize this, the representative sit in desks of two. I think there's desks of three as well. So in other words, if you are out going to the bathroom, if you're getting a cup of coffee, your seatmate could vote for you. However, I have witnessed not non-seatmates voting for other representatives of the same party, meaning they might be seats forward or behind, near, but I've seen people voting for representatives that are not seatmates. Also, he says it's not written. Well, you clearly laid out the rules. It is written. It is a rule. So I disagree with that standpoint that for all these rule followers and process and procedure, it is clearly defined in the rules.
Okay, but I just am stuck on something you said. So people are just wandering around pushing other people's buttons to
yes.
vote?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
And okay, so we get into it again. Let's hear from Matt Marshall again on this.
So the Democrat MO has been that they have floor shifts late at night. So there will be a handful of people that cover their desk. And then the rest of them leave. We don't even know if they're on campus. We're not stalking them. We're not hunting them down. They might not even be on campus. The Republicans have always been on campus and in the wings and somewhere around, even if somebody has been pushing their button. We don't even know if the Democrats stay on the Capitol property. But it'll be for hours and hours and hours. And then you'll see that a shift changes and some of the members disappear and new members show up and they're all refreshed and they've got blankets and pillows. That's been the MO in the past.
That just makes me sick to my stomach.
Yes, and I want to tell you, I've witnessed this shift change that he's referring to because I've been there for hours late at night watching the proceedings, and I'll give you an example that was just last night. There's a representative that I kind of watch in the aquarium, right? Representative Davis. She is fashion forward. I've sold women's clothes for 27 years. I like women's fashion, and she is fashion forward. She's got some great outfits. Well, she wasn't there for a long time. And then, for example, as he says, she comes in through what I perceive to be the entrance, right? So from the rotunda, not from the wings into my vision, she comes in from the entrance. And this is where, this is very interesting because when they talk about under the dome, these loose rules, these unwritten rules, where they have to be under the dome, well, some representatives have offices in the Capitol building itself. So it's okay for them to go to their offices, but not other representatives. So I looked it up really quick. Okay, where is Representative Davis? Where is her office? Her office is in JBL, the JLB, the John L. O'Brien building, JLOB, as they call it. That's outside of the dome. So this is very curious. And like he says, you know, they're not stalking these people. They're not going to see who's off campus, who's going down to the corner mart to get snacks for everyone, who's conducting business or tending to their children outside of the Capitol while someone else is voting for them. And I want to be clear, if we had more citizens engaged, perhaps we could see who's, you know, in the parking lot coming to the Capitol when they're actually voting on the roll call votes with the roll call machine. But for now, it's for you and I to be persnippety about with this loose rule bending.
Well, you know, I would like to see maybe the Republicans use this to their advantage somehow when they're passing these outrageous bills. If they're working shifts and they don't have the actual people in the House making those votes, can't they call for this oral roll call vote?
Yes.
To potentially stop some of these crazy bills?
I'm hearing you strategically. Absolutely. And it does sound like that was done the other night, but at the same time, it's almost like they knew it was coming because everybody was prepared for these oral roll call votes. Let's get to what he says about that, because that kind of introduces us to the controversy this week that we need to get to. We're breaking records again, dang it, Erica. I always wanted this particular podcast to be under 20 minutes, under 25 minutes. We're now setting a new record for the Ole Insider, or at least we're coming upon those grounds in the 33rd minute. So let's get to this, the controversy of the week.
And it has historically been that there is an unwritten rule between both the Republican-Democrat caucus that's called the No Surprises Rule, which means that we won't do things like that. We'll just kind of allow kind of business as usual unless we give prior notice on very controversial bills here and there. They broke that yesterday after they amended the House rules to be able to eliminate or debate with a simple majority. And so when the Democrats broke the no surprises policy on their own, we responded with, here are all the procedural things that we can do. And the first thing we're going to do is make sure that everybody has to be sitting in their seat and orally cast their vote, because that's a right and that's something that we should provide and the people deserve. which is that their representatives are sitting in their chair casting their votes as they were elected to do.
Okay, so just from that soundbite, I can kind of deduce that they did let the Democrats know that they would be doing that, which is the opposite of a surprise, which is opposite of the sting operation that you would like them to employ.
Yes, absolutely. I'm all for a sting operation. Obviously, there's a the current practices aren't working out in their favor, so I think they should shake it up a little bit.
Absolutely. Bring integrity to the House floor vote with especially if it's a controversial bill like you're talking about, or maybe not maybe something that is that they perceive to be something more even, where I did witness a few amendments last night where some of the Democrats did break with their party and vote with the Republicans. So maybe on something like that, they could do a surprise oral roll call vote. So
something more middle ground kind of thing.
Yeah, that might actually move the needle on a vote. Well, and there we go. That's up to date where we are at with our investigation of this bizarre proxy voting that is going on that seems quite loose for what would you say it's for? It's basically for the luxury of elected representatives in the majority party.
Well, I'm just a little frustrated because these people wanted this job and now they don't want to show up and participate. So it's a little bit frustrating for me.
Yeah, yeah, and they could vote. They could vote remotely, like Hackney does. So I guess they're there. We'll have to keep investigating. Maybe I will get Speaker Jenkins to respond on where for a body that follows written rules and procedures. It's just bizarre to me that this most important vote has traditions that don't need to be logged as rules and actually fly in the face of written rules.
Yes, I would like to somehow have a complete list, even though they're unwritten, but it would be nice to know what other kind of procedures they're foregoing by, their own rules that are unspoken.
Yeah.
And traditions.
And for example, myself as a citizen, last night, and I just want to give this because to me, this is the most clear analogy. Last night, I was invited to join the floor in the wings. I was on the Republican side in the wings, and I was able to speak with Jim Walsh. I was able to speak with Matt Marshall. I was able to speak with a few of the representatives. And then Jim Walsh was sitting with me, and he got up and he went to his seat to participate in the debate. And I was sitting there, and I asked, I said, oh, do I have to leave now? And he said, no, you've been invited. You're fine. Well, what I would perceive to be the sergeant at arms, I'm gonna get his exact title, but a very large security officer came over and said, you're going to have to leave now, sir. And I said, oh, I was told I'm okay. I've been invited in. I'm all right to sit here and watch. And he said, no, it's the rules. If you're not sitting with a member, you need to leave and go to the gallery. And so as a citizen who's been invited into the wings, I was doing nothing. I was beyond the velvet ropes. I wasn't making noise. I wasn't doing anything. There is a rule that they stated that had to remove me from the wings. And yet, the most important thing that they're there to do, their vote representing citizens, has these unwritten traditions which allow someone to not be present. It's just, to me, that's a citizen's analogy that kind of speaks to the fraud of this proxy voting.
Yeah, I think that's a great example. Absolutely. So, and I find that quite interesting too. That one representative would say it's no problem, and then they would come and kick you out anyways. So, maybe people have different understandings of what these rules really are.
Yeah, maybe. Well, clearly.
As we've
gone through this show, like 5068, there are lobbyists lobbying on behalf of it. There are representatives that argue with me, and they don't even understand what 5068 does. So clearly there is confusion with all these rules. And I don't know. I'm going to give Jim Walsh credit. He might know that I'm a big fan of Andy Kaufman and his humor. So perhaps Jim was playing a bit of a joke on me by telling me I was okay and allowing me to get kicked out.
Well, I do want to say, I think that is pretty cool that you were invited there in the first place, because that is definitely what Ole Insider is all about.
Yes, yes. And there we are, our first season, and we're still breaking new ground. We're still covering issues that have not been covered and are not covered by our mainstream media and even our alt media. And that's our mission. So I'm thankful to have you along with me co-piloting this adventure. And there's another episode in the books.
Well, thanks, Jay. I appreciate all your hard work, too.
Peace, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Let us take a step back and let us reason together.
The legislative process can be intimidating. Let's go through it together.
If you could focus on the policy and not motives, please proceed.
Like and subscribe to Ole Insider on your favorite podcasting app. All resources and show notes will be available for each episode at oleinsider.com.
Mr. Speaker, I've stood up on the House floor repeatedly this year.
You can follow Erica Engelhart on X at For the Good, Jay Fratt on X at Jay Fratt, and Positive Intentions Media on X at PubSec Media.
It is our duty.
I really want to say thank you.